Well, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tonight. And boy, we have got so much ground to cover that I'm not going to do a whole lot of reviewing other than tell you that we've been studying about our resurrection bodies. And this passage does more to describe those than really any other passage in your Bible. I'm really not going to get into verses 35 through 41 because we studied those. And if you want to kind of get the preface to all this and understand this text, you need to go online and you need to listen to that again and get that. But he's going to, after he explains and basically answers the question, you know, what a resurrection body, what is that? After he explains that, he says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And now, in verses 42 through 50, Paul is beginning to describe our resurrection bodies. And he's going to describe what our bodies will be like in eternity. And, you know, we went through several of these, and we're going to cover the last two tonight. There are really six things. Four of them we've already covered. Let's just real quickly read through this, and we'll kind of review. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but notice that your new body is going to be raised up in what? Incorruption. So are you going to get sick in heaven? No. You're not going to have a body that can decay. You're not going to have a body that gets old. How many of you ever heard the old hymn, "Where We'll Never Grow Old"? You ever heard that one? And boy, a lot of truth in that. We're never going to grow old in heaven. Our bodies will never decay. They'll never wear out. You'll never get tired. They're incorruptible. But then look at verse 43. He says, it is sown, your natural body is sown in dishonor. When you put it in the ground, it's sown in dishonor. It speaks to the fact that, hey, death defeated you. You've got a body that was sinful and that deteriorated, it decayed, and you couldn't beat death. It's sown in dishonor. But he said one day it's going to be raised up in what? Glory. You know, your earthly body that goes into the grave, it tells people about who you are. But when you get your resurrection body, it's going to tell people who Christ is. And you're going to get a body that is going to demonstrate the glory, the character, the essence of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's look down at verse 43 again. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Your new body is sown in what? Weakness. Weakness. But he said it is raised in what? Power. Man, we looked at that and we studied that thing out. How that we're going to have bodies that are very, very powerful and to carry on the business of heaven in eternity. Now let's go down and let's look at verse 45. I'll tell you what, no, let's go up to verse number 44. He said, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Now let me explain. All of us have natural bodies that are designed to function in this physical, natural realm called planet Earth. Our bodies cannot function in the heavens, okay, as they are right now. Your body cannot function. It's not able to function in the heavens. I mean, you know, we looked last week at the fact that, you know, you've got the Milky Way galaxy and the light years away that the closest star is besides the sun. And so you're talking about, you know, billions of miles away, just the closest star. And then there are billions of galaxies beyond our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, it doesn't take much to know that you don't have a body that will function up there right now. I mean, if you go up in a plane and you go 30,000 feet up, you know, you go 30,000 feet up in the air in an airplane and you decide you're going to open up the window and get some fresh air, is that going to work? No. So that ought to let you know you don't have a body right now that's designed to function in that heavenly realm. Our bodies go down into the grave, natural bodies. He says they'll be raised spiritual bodies. So that's the fifth point. Your resurrection body will be raised a spiritual body. Now hold on just a second. What does that mean? It means that you're going to have a body like Christ that is able to function in the heavenly spiritual realm. Now keep in mind that when Paul calls it a spiritual body, that doesn't mean it isn't real. Okay, that doesn't mean that, oh, that's just a spiritual body, that somehow it's not really a body. No, listen. It is a literal, real body that you will have in eternity. It just simply won't be made out of the same physical flesh, the physical matter that your body is made out of right now. You say, Pastor Dan, how do you know we're going to have a literal body? Go over to Luke 24, okay? Let's keep our bookmarker here. And let's flip over here to Luke chapter number 24. This is a story of Christ after he rose from the dead. He is risen. He's got his resurrection body. And notice here in Luke 24, he appears to the 12. And verse 37 says they're terrified and they were affrighted when Christ appeared. Luke 24, 37. They supposed they'd seen a spirit. Okay? They're like, "Woo! It's a ghost!" Verse 38. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" And then look what he says. The verse is kind of interesting. He's in his glorified body here. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Now there's several things we learn here from this text. And number one is this. While we will have a spiritual body in eternity, it is in fact a body. You're not going to be some disembodied spirit in eternity. Your new spiritual body is going to house your soul and your spirit. And notice that Christ, look down there at verse 39. And what did he tell them to behold? What did his new body have? It had hands and feet, just like your body now. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet." Now, is that comforting to you to know that, you know, when you get your new body, okay, you're not going to look like some creature on the late, 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 late show, all right? You know, the bodies, your glorified body will be similar in appearance to the way you look now. And it's kind of neat, too, because what we learn from this text, is that your new body, even though you'll have a new body, it'll still be you. Your soul and spirit you'll take with you to heaven as soon as you die. Your body will go down and your natural body will go down there into the grave. And then when you're raised up, you'll get a spiritual body, a new body, to house the same soul and spirit that went up to heaven. So it's still you. Notice that he said in verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet." And then look at the next phrase. I like that. He said that it is what? I myself. Isn't that good, Pastor Larry? You're still going to have your identity in heaven. And we're still going to know each other. Okay? Now, once they got over the initial shock, okay, of all of a sudden just, boop, Christ just appears in the room. They're behind locked doors, we learn in John 20. Once they get over the initial shock and the initial, woo, you know, did they realize it was Christ? Yes or no? Yes, they did. And they're not even in their glorified bodies yet. They're still in natural bodies, but yet they were able to recognize him for who he was. So this lets us know that, yes, you're going to still have, retain your identity in heaven. And we will know each other. Another thing we learn here from this text, your new body is going to have structure to it. Notice he said there, look at verse 39. He says, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not..." And then what's the next phrase there? flesh and bones as ye see me have. So it won't be the fallen flesh of humanity. It won't be like the flesh you have now. But yet your new body will have structure to it. Okay, just like it does now. But it'll be different. But it will have structure. And another thing we learn here, it says there in verse 41, he said, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did what? You're going to be able to eat in your new body. Boy, now that should have brought a bunch of amens right there. Isn't that great news? That's good stuff. He's in his new glorified body, and they give him a hunk of fish and a hunk of honeycomb, and he starts eating it. Now, praise the Lord, out there in eternity when we eat, we're not going to have to count fat grams and calories and worry about cholesterol. Amen? Now, I'd feel a lot better about that text if they'd have rolled that fish in cornmeal and deep fried it. But that's not what it says. I can't change it. It says they broiled it. I'm not wild about broiled fish. But anyway, the point, have you ever noticed anything tastes good when you roll it in cornmeal and fry it? You could take the leg of that pew right there. Roll it in cornmeal, fry it long enough, it tastes good. But anyway, that's all another story right there. But out there in eternity, my point is this. You're going to have a body that won't be like the one you have now, but there will be some similarities in that it'll have structure. You'll have hands. You'll have feet. It'll be you. You'll still have your identity. You'll have flesh and bones, okay? And you'll be able to eat. There'll be some things that we do now we'll be able to do then. Of course, there'll be a world of things we'll be able to do with our new body that we can't do now, like we talked about last week. You know, you're trying to walk through that wall. You can do that in your new body. You can't do it now. So there's some neat things. And here's what, when I say that you're going to have a real body and that, you know, when we talk about having a spiritual body, sometimes people think, well, that somehow means that it's not really real. No, it's just as real as the body you have now. Can I show you a neat passage? Go to 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Keep your bookmarker here. And go back there to 2 Kings, if you can find that, 2 Kings 6. And I want to show you a neat story here. The king of Syria is real frustrated because he wants to war against Israel. And every time he takes counsel, Elisha, the prophet, knows what he's going to do before he does it. Because God reveals it to Elisha. And so the king of Syria is getting really frustrated, really upset. And he finally figures out, someone tells him, well, it's that dude Elisha is the one causing all the problems. So in verse 13, 2 Kings 6:13, he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God, so here's Elisha's servant, was risen early. So he gets up in the morning, has his coffee, you know, and he goes outside. And behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. That's the host, of course, that the king of Syria sent. And so his servant goes back inside there, and he says, alas, my master, what shall we do? I can just see him. He runs inside. Elisha, man, there's just horses and chariots and soldiers everywhere. What are we going to do? They've surrounded us. Verse 16, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Of course, he's thinking, what are you talking about? It's just me and you. Are you nuts? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He opens up his eyes to somehow miraculously to be able to see into the spirit world. And he sees that there are far more angels and horses and chariots of angels, far more than what the king of Syria had sent. Now, was what he saw real, yes or no? Yeah, horses and chariots of fire he saw. What he saw was real. We cannot see into the spirit world, but it is going on. There is a spirit world operating right now. You cannot see it with your physical eyes, but it is just as real as the physical world that you see and hear right now. Paul said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against stuff you can see with your eyes. He said, we are fighting against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high heavenly places. Now, when you get out there into eternity, you're going to have a body that's not made by hands, Paul said. In other words, it's made by God. It's designed by God. You're going to have a body specifically and specially designed by God Himself that's going to allow you to be able to function in that spiritual world like the angels are right now. In fact, this is a whole other subject. We're going to actually be put over the angelic spirits in the world to come. We will actually be giving them their marching orders and telling the angels what to do, the church, the body of Christ. Now, Adam was made a living soul, we read back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn back there, 1 Corinthians 15. Adam was made a living soul, but what happened? Adam, what did he do in the garden? Adam what? He sinned, and then he what? 900-something years later, what did his physical body do? It what? It died. Now, your body, your first body, comes from who? Comes from Adam, right? And that's the point of the text. But the last Adam, can anybody tell me who is the last Adam in the Bible? That's Christ. He was made a quickening spirit. He brings resurrection and life. Christ, now you say, why is Jesus called the last Adam? It's because Christ alone regains all that humanity lost in the first Adam. The first body that you received is natural. It's a body, listen, it is a body designed to function on planet Earth. In that natural body, you have a will. You have the ability to make choices and decisions. You make choices every day. You make decisions every day in that body of yours. When Adam was created with a body, okay, he was created with volition. That is the ability to make choices. Remember, God said, here's the animals, you take them, you name them, whatever Adam decided, that was the name. Adam was created with the ability to make choices, with volition. So your natural body is going to decay. It's going to decay, it's going to wear out. Afterward, Paul says, you get your spiritual body. If in your natural body, you made a decision for Jesus Christ. And that's the principle all throughout the Bible. First the natural, then the spiritual. Look with me at verse 46. I'm back in 1 Corinthians 15 now. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. You don't get that first. But that which is natural. That's what comes first, the natural. And afterward, what do you get? You get that which is what? Spiritual. You're going to get your spiritual body, your new body, afterward. Isn't that the principle all throughout the Bible? First the natural, then the spiritual. Adam and Eve had two sons. What was the first one? Cain, the natural man. Next was Abel, the spiritual man. First the natural, then the spiritual. Ishmael, the first son of Abraham, the natural man. Isaac, the spiritual man. Think about this. Esau came out first, the natural man, just concerned with feeding his flesh. Jacob, the spiritual man, through whom the seed of the promise would come. And the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a ruler of Israel, you must be born again. Ye, plural, the nation of Israel must be born again. The first birth that God gave Israel isn't enough. They got to have a second birth, which they're going to receive at Christ's second coming. That's a principle all throughout your Bible, and it's also true in regards to your body. The body that you live in, and that you're going to function in throughout eternity, is not the one you have now. So what does that tell you? Don't fall in love with the body you got now. Because you're going to get one much better. Amen, Pastor Dan. So don't fall in love with it. Don't worship your body. Get all consumed with your body. It's just a temporary thing. And then afterward will come the spiritual. You're going to get a new body that's going to radiate the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said last week, or was it last week? What was last week? Did I preach last Sunday night? I did? Okay, last week then. Phew! Do y'all have problems remembering what you did yesterday? Is that normal or is that... Okay. Because Denise and I were trying to figure out the other day what we had done 2 days previously and couldn't remember. It is a little scary. But anyway, that's because I have a natural body. Amen? Our new body won't be that way, right? Tell me, Pastor Larry, what were you doing 10,000 years ago in eternity? I'll ask him. Pastor Larry said, well, I was doing this, you know. We have no problem with our memories. Amen? But no, I mean, listen, I forgot why I said all that now. But anyway, I know what I was saying. Don't fall in love with the body you have now, because you're going to get a much better one out there in eternity. You're going to get a spiritual body. Now, let me cover the last thing. I want to get into some stuff here. Our resurrection bodies, number 6, are going to bear the image of Christ. Now, I want you to look down at verse 49. It says, and as we have borne the image of the what? Earthy. We shall also, future tense, we're going to bear the image of the what? Heavenly. Well, what's he talking about? Go up to verse 47 and it'll provide the commentary on verse 49. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is who? The Lord from heaven. So when he says that my new body is going to bear the image of the heavenly, who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to bear the image of Christ in eternity, my body. Now, an image has to do with a body and the nature that goes with it. Your bodily image, now stay with me, your bodily image comes from our original parents, right? Adam and Eve. Your bodily image comes from Adam and Eve. You've got 2 ears because Adam and Eve had 2 ears. You've got 2 arms because Adam and Eve had 2 arms. You have 2 hands because Adam and Eve had 2 hands. Okay? Adam was not some half man, half gorilla creature walking around with long arms and his knuckles dragging the ground. Okay? And then evolved into, you know, what we know today. Now, that was, look, folks, that is all fictitious. That's all the imagination of people's minds. Okay? You look the way you do because Adam looked that way. All right? And that your bodily structure is the way God created Adam. All right? And Adam, of course, sinned. And we all come from Adam. So we bear the image of the earthy. Isn't that what Romans 5:12 teaches? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In our bodies dwell the same sin nature as Adam. So we bear the image of the earthy, Adam. He said we're going to bear the image, though, of the heavenly, Christ. Well, now, let me ask you a question. If Adam's nature was one of sin after he fell, okay, what was Christ's nature? Brian just said it. Righteousness is what we preached on this morning. Christ's nature is one of righteousness, not sin. The opposite of sin. You're going to get a new body that is going to bear Christ's image and have the nature of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Can I put it down here? Can I put the jelly on the bottom shelf for you here? That means we are never going to displease the Lord again. Woo! That's an exciting thought to me. That I am never going to displease my Lord again. The old nature is gone forever. Romans 8:29 teaches that the body of Christ that he's forming right now, before the foundation of the world, God knew that he was going to offer this time of grace, and all those who would receive his grace would form what's called the body of Christ. And God decided before the foundation of the world, all those that are in that body are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are going to have a resurrection body. Now hear me. We're going to have a resurrection body that conforms to the image of His Son. Just as we reflect Adam's image now, but yet we all have our own distinct DNA and identity, we are going to reflect Christ's image in heaven, even though we will have our own identity. Right now, to see you is to see the image of Adam. But in eternity, to see you will be to see the image of Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. Our new bodies won't be like our natural bodies in the way they function. In our natural bodies that we got from Adam, what does the Bible say? The life is in the... Anybody know that? The life is in the blood. Our life comes from the blood. In heaven, you'll leave all that behind. You'll leave the Adamic nature and the bloodline that goes with it. That bloodline will be gone. In eternity, your life won't come from the blood anymore. Your life will come directly from Jesus Christ. Your new body is not going to operate through a circulatory system of blood like it does now. Look down at verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Paul said, now this, just look at verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You see, you remember what Christ said to the disciples when he, after he rose from the dead? Remember when they thought he was a spirit and he said, hey guys, a spirit does not have what? Did he say flesh and blood? No, he said flesh and bones. That matches what Paul just said. You see, your new body will have structure. It'll have flesh and bones. But what did Christ do with his blood? He shed it at Calvary for our sins. And then he went and he offered it on the mercy seat of heaven. Flesh and blood, as we know it on planet Earth, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Paul said that the body you have right now, operating on the basis of a circulatory system of blood, he says that's not going to do you any good in heaven. You're going to become part of a new species of humanity that will not be kin to the earth. It will not be earthy. Look at verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the what? Heavenly. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. We are going to reign in the heavenlies. We are going to have bodies that are designed to function and to transport us around in the heavenly realm. Now, there's a book out, I mentioned it this morning, called Heaven. It's by a guy named Alcorn. And there's some things in there that are okay and they're true. Then some of it is nonsense, okay? A quote from the book is, it says, picture heaven the way Scripture describes it, a bright, vibrant and physical new earth. This is a book about real people with real bodies enjoying close relationships with God and each other, eating, drinking, working, playing, and discovering on a new earth. Earth as God created it, earth as He intended it to be. So he's kind of like the Jehovah's Witness in that he's got everybody on planet Earth with an earthly hope for eternity. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want to cover this real quick. Go to Revelation, okay? Go to the last book here. And of course, he spends a lot of time in Revelation 21 and 22 in the book. Look at Revelation 21. And I want you to notice here. Now, notice, remember what we just learned from Paul. Our new body is not tied to the earth. It's not earthy. He said it's heavenly. Our new body is what? Heavenly. heavenly. It's not earthy at all. It has nothing to do. It's not connected to the earth. It's heavenly. Now, look at Revelation 21, verse 1. What you're going to see here are there are three new places that God's going to create. After he disposes, basically, of this earth and the heavens that have been corrupted by Satan and his satanic host, he's going to do away with it, and he's going to change them. And it says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now look up here. God creates three new places for the saved to dwell in for eternity. There's three places he creates. He creates a new heaven. You tell them to me. What were they? A new heaven, a new earth, and a new city. Right? New Jerusalem. The earth, the new earth, and the new city are a fulfillment of God's covenant promises that he made to the nation of Israel. On the new earth, and this is really kind of neat, but if you read Revelation 22, you'll learn that on the new earth, people aren't just going to be in the new city. There are going to be kings and nations on the new earth. The new Jerusalem will be the capital of the new earth. And the redeemed of Israel are going to rule and reign on the new earth. They're going to be a blessing to all nations. The Davidic throne, the David's throne, is going to be established forever. Now, God promised Israel in Isaiah 59 and 60, he said that he said, "My glory is going to rise on you, Israel, and you are going to be a light to all the Gentile nations and kings of the earth." And the Gentile nations and kings are going to have to come to you for blessing. And that's exactly what you see in Revelation 21 and 22. And that's why when you read the description of New Jerusalem, it's all linked to Israel. You know, you read it in the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, are right there inscribed on the gates. And you read it, the 12 apostles, who he said would rule and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. The names of the 12 apostles of Israel are right there in the foundations. What's the name of the city? I mean, just the name of the city ties it to Israel. What's it called? New Jerusalem. And so Israel is an earthly people with an earthly hope. They always have been, always will be. That's their promise. That's their covenant that God made with them, an earthly people with an earthly hope. And what you have in that book is you got a guy who doesn't understand the first thing about right division. See, he doesn't understand the difference between Israel and the body of Christ for today. See, he doesn't understand the difference. And so he's got everything just all, you know, jumbled and all everything all thrown in together. But I want to remind you, God makes a new earth and a new city to come down and be the capital of the new earth. But that's not all he made in Revelation 21. What else did he make? He made a new what? New heaven. You think God has a purpose for that too? Colossians 1 says that God created all things, and he created things in heaven and in earth. And he's going to reconcile all things in heaven and in earth. And the subject of the heavens involves the church, the body of Christ, which he's been calling out for the past 2,000 years. It was a mystery hidden in God from the foundation of the world, revealed through the Apostle Paul, who he said, "I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." And to Paul was revealed the mystery of the body of Christ. You won't find the mystery of the body of Christ anywhere else. It's just it's Paul's exclusive domain. And Paul reveals what God's doing today in the body of Christ. And you know what he says about us? He says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He says our citizenship, our conversations in heaven. Philippians 3:20. He says that we have an eternal house in the heavens. That's what he says. We have an eternal house in the heavens. We are going to occupy the heavens in the ages to come. You think about this. You take just the New Jerusalem. And you know, it's interesting. He doesn't just give the dimensions on earth. He could have just said, well, it's this many miles wide and it's this many miles long. He doesn't say that. He also gives you the height. He tells you how far up the New Jerusalem goes up. Do you know how far the New Jerusalem goes up into the heavens? It goes up 8 million feet straight up into the heavens. So God gives you the height because His kingdom is going to cover the earth and the heavens. The New Jerusalem is the center of operation for eternity. It's the center of operation on earth for the nation of Israel. It'll be the center of operations for the body of Christ in the heavens. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep your bookmarker here in Revelation. We're going to come right back. Go to Ephesians 2. And I got to hurry. I got 10 minutes here. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse 6. Ephesians 2, 6. Paul says here that we were dead in sins. Verse 5. And we've been quickened. We've been made alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. So what's the result of my salvation? Verse 6, the Bible says, and hath raised us up together and made us, what? Sit. Now that word sit means to dwell, means to reside permanently. I've been made to sit, to dwell, to reside together in earthly places in Christ. Is that what it says? No, where have I been made to sit and dwell? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Next verse tells you why. And he lets you know that's not just a temporary place. He says that in the what? So that we're still there in the ages to come. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now we have been made one with Christ. Amen? The Bible says we've been made one flesh with Christ. Now go to Ephesians 1 and look what it says about Christ. Verse 20. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And notice what happened. He set him, Christ, at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Christ has been set. That means to reside. He's been made to reside and to sit in heavenly places. And he talks about that is the condition in the world that's to come. Well, now hold on just a second. According to Revelation 21 and 22, Christ is on earth in the New Jerusalem. So if Christ is in the New Jerusalem on earth in eternity, but yet the Bible says he's been made to dwell up there in heavenly places, how does Christ fulfill that eternal exalted position in the heavenlies in eternity? How do you think he's going to fulfill that? Bingo. Through us, the body of Christ. Look at verse 22. He tells you. He and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? Body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I'm not done. I want you to grab 1 Corinthians 15, our text, in one hand, and Revelation 21 in the other hand. You got to be so careful about books you read. Boy, guys can make stuff sound so slick. And you have to be so careful and discerning. And I just praise the Lord. Kathy Shibe is the one that brought this book to my attention. Somebody had given it to her in a good gesture, you know, just to be kind. And she appreciated the kindness. But she right away, after being in our ministry for a number of years, right away, Kathy, who understands how to rightly divide the word, right away picked up on the fact that the whole basis of this book is wrong. And she told me about it. And that's why I brought it up. But look at 1 Corinthians 15. Or let's see. Let's go to... tell you what. You're in 1 Corinthians 15. Grab Revelation 21. We'll go there first. And then we'll go right to 1 Corinthians 15. Then we'll be done. Revelation 21, and look at verse 23. Okay, here we are. It's talking about the New Jerusalem. And it says in verse 23, and the city, New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the what? Light thereof. Now, the Bible says there's no night there. The Lamb is the light thereof. Now, does that mean that there's just going to be this one incredible, brilliant, dazzling light that's just going to be radiating from Christ's resurrection body? I don't think so. I want you to remember something. As the body of Christ, we have been made what with Him? One with Him. We're His body. And if you look down there at verse 23, Revelation 21:23, it's interesting there, and I'm going to bring out some things here that I hope that will provoke your thinking a little. It says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the what? There's one other source of light up there in the solar system that he doesn't mention. Can anybody tell me what's missing there? Where are the stars? No need of sun, no need of moon. What about the stars? Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 now, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. And remember now, we've been made one with Christ, and He said we were going to be raised in glory. We are literally going to radiate the glory of Jesus Christ in the heavens for eternity. Look at verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. Now he's going to narrow his discussion. For one star differeth from another star in what? Glory. So also is the resurrection of what? The dead. He says down there in verse 49, as we've borne the image of the earthy, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Here's what I'm proposing to you tonight, is that we are going to show forth Christ's glory in the heavens for eternity. We are going to literally light the heavens and the new earth. No need of the sun, no need of the moon. The Lamb, His glory, the Bible says, is going to light it. Well, who is it that is said to be raised up in glory? Somebody tell me, who? Us. Who is it that He said that in eternity, the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us? Who is that said about? The body of Christ. We are going to bear the image of Christ in eternity. We are going to shine for Jesus. Are you ready to shine for Jesus? You say, well, how bright am I going to shine? One star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now, from that, we could take it that we're not going to all equally have the same glory. We're all going to show forth His glory, but not in the same measure, I guess we should say. And I think some of that's going to have to do not only with our function that we're going to have in eternity, but it's going to have to do with what kind of steward you've been here on earth, what kind of a servant you've been on earth. How much can He trust you with in eternity will depend upon what you're doing now. No moon, no sun, but yet He said the resurrection of the dead is like the stars. Does that excite you to know that when we rise from the dead and we get our resurrection bodies, folks, our hope isn't an earthly hope. Paul said, set your affection not on things of the earth, but on things above. We will be the stars in the heavens that are going to shine forth the glory of Jesus for all eternity. And you know what? It doesn't matter what that Alcorn Goomer thinks in his book, okay? Doesn't matter. What he needs to understand is we're not Israel. And you know what the biggest problem is in Christendom today? Jehovah's Witness, you take most Protestant mainline denominations, You take most cults, they all think they're Israel. They all think they're Israel. But you know what? We're not. We're the church, the body of Christ, in which there is no Jew or Gentile. We're the church, the body of Christ, and we are going to radiate His glory in heavenly place, that in the ages to come, people are going to look up there on the new earth and in the new Jerusalem that are on the earth. They're going to stare up there into the heavens as we radiate His glory and as we are giving the orders to the angels, as we're carrying on the business of the heavenly places. They're going to look up into the heavens, the Bible says, in the ages to come. And when they see you, a Gentile, a sinner, deserving of hell, you had no covenant promises, you had no hope in this world, you are without God, and they're going to look up to heaven, and they're going to see you up there bearing the image of the heavenly in your glorified body, and they're going to see the grace and the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ on display through us in the ages to come.